In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This morning's sermon is based on the epistle reading from the letter to the church in Rome, chapter 13. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is coming. That is the theme of Advent. Jesus is coming. We remember a historical fact that God, who dwells among the praise of his angels, has come down to earth and become a man through the womb of the Virgin Mary to be our Savior. But Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. You see, the faithful not only look back in grateful adoration to Christ, who came to be our Savior, but Christians also anticipate and look forward to his return. Then the object of their love and devotion that dwelt in their heart of faith will fill their eyes, and they will then be pleased with what their eyes see in Jesus forever. And that's important. Why? Many people think that knowing something about Christ is what saves them. They know Christ died on the cross for their sins, and every time their conscience attacks them, they tell themselves, well, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And so with that thought, they dismiss their guilt, and they go right on in their sin. Instead of making them new creations, as the scripture says, the gospel becomes an excuse for them to go on sinning. Christ is thereby abused by their so-called faith, and when Christ comes to judge the world, he will tell them, "I never knew you." But faith looks forward to Christ and to Christ's return, like a bride awaiting her bridegroom on that wedding day. Faith looks forward to Christ's return and prepares for it. How? As St. Paul says, by putting off the old man and its sins and its sinful desires, not putting up with that old man, not indulging that old man, but putting off the old man in order to put on the perfection of Christ. By living in anticipation of becoming something new. And that's what the preparation is that we as the bride of Christ, the church, do. We are awaiting our wedding day. And every time we come to receive his grace, our wedding dress is being fitted and refitted so that it fits perfectly on that day of the wedding feast of Jesus Christ. May we all be prepared when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. As St. Paul is addressing the church in Rome in our epistle text today, he is also addressing us. He is telling the baptized to live the life of the baptized. And how's that? He says once again, "Clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the sinful desires of the flesh." St. Paul tells us that anyone who is baptized into Christ has put on Christ. Now, it sounds like putting on clothes or a wedding garment, doesn't it? We put in Christ graciously. It's a gift that we put on Christ in our baptism, and that's important and essential. Why? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the wedding gown. When Adam and Eve sinned, who were created in the image of God, who in their naked bodies were unashamed of their nakedness because they were dressed in the righteousness and the image of God, immediately they lost that when they fell into sin, and they became ashamed, and they were stupid. They shouldn't be ashamed because they were naked. They should have been ashamed for transgressing God's law and rebelling against him. But sin is not only the loss of our righteousness and the clothing before God, it is the falling into spiritual ignorance, which is a part of the fallen, sinful nature. without a robe of righteousness such as we are draped with in a Christian baptism by God's grace, without that wedding dress, we will not be prepared on the day of the great wedding feast, but will be rejected by God. And what does that mean for us now? It means that we live by faith, and that's what St. Paul is describing in this, the faith walk. When we look into our hearts, if we honestly look into our hearts with spiritual discerning eyes, what do we see? We see exactly what St. Paul is talking about. We see sinful desires in the flesh of our hearts. We see indifference to God. We see lusts, that we want sexual things that we are not permitted in God's law to have. We see the glories of this world, and we chase after the glittering and passable riches in this world and the honor that it wants to give us, rather than the spiritual blessing that we have through God's word and through his sacrament. We see in us a sinful nature that is addicted to sin. We need to be honest about it. We not only sin, there is a part of us that loves sin, that craves sin, that does nothing but want to rebel against God and to go its own way instead of following the voice of our Savior. Unless you have become perfect, you must honestly acknowledge that these sinful desires are also in your heart. Because if you can't recognize them, how can you ever be saved? If you don't know your illness, how can you ever crave or want the great physician, which is Jesus Christ? And so faith in Jesus, you see, is never just knowledge about Jesus. Knowledge of the truth is good, but it's never just knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus Christ binds us to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. And as he bore our sins, we don't pay lip service. Oh, he died on the cross for my sins. But we sinners are bound to Jesus. As our sins were laid upon him, we in faith come to where our sins are disposed of. We come to Christ who bore our sins. And we find in him the one and only answer from God for our sins. And that is repentant faith. That is turning from the darkness and the problem, which is located entirely in our hearts, to the solution that is found entirely and only in Jesus Christ forever. Putting off the old man and putting on the new is turning to Jesus, who takes away our sins and creates us into people who are like him. The greatest deception, perhaps, in the church is when people depend on their faith, and they depend on their faith instead of Christ. When they say, I have faith. I have no need to hear God's word anymore. I have faith. I'm fine. I don't need to hear Jesus speak in the gospel and in the preaching of the church. I have faith. I don't need to confess my sins, even though the Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I don't need to confess my sins. I don't need the church's absolution because I have faith. I know Jesus says, take, eat, and take, drink. This is my body and blood, and the promise given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But I don't need the sacrament. I have faith. Faith is an excuse for rejecting Jesus. Faith is the thing that we depend on so that we don't have to depend on Jesus anymore. Don't you understand what a terrible idol historical faith is? A few facts about Jesus that get us off the hook and get us free so that we don't have to depend on Jesus anymore. What a deadly deception. And what a terrible affliction that, like leprosy, is spreading rapidly through the Church of Jesus Christ, especially here in America. And if anyone is hearing this in self-righteousness and saying, oh, I regularly receive Christ in his word and sacraments. I'm always sitting in Bible study and hearing new things about Jesus ever since I was a child. Well, good for you. But don't compare yourself to others. And don't make your progress, which is not your accomplishment, but a gift of God, a reason for pride in you. Don't allow that to make you think that you have arrived at the stature of Jesus Christ and that you have no more growth, no more sins to confess, and no more imperfections that will keep you away from God in the judgment. That also, progress and sanctification, is an idol that must fall. You need Christ, and you need His grace in word and sacraments. How long? Until I have no sin any longer. Until my addiction in the flesh to sin is completely conquered, and I no longer have those lusts and desires that war against God's word. I need Christ, and I need His grace until I am all better. And we will be better when we die and rise again and on the day of judgment by His grace. So as we come to another Advent season, maybe we've been through a lot of them, let's not waste this season, but let's use it for the purposes that it has been established by the Church of Christ, the Bride of Christ, in her freedom to do such things. As you have had Christ placed upon you in your baptism, follow St. Paul's advice, keep on putting Christ on. As St. Paul says, now is not the time to let your faith slumber. The nighttime of sin is passing, and the dawn of God's grace, the new day of eternity after the judgment, is dawning and approaching with the resurrection of Christ. So let us turn from our flesh and its dark desires. Let us see that our flesh's love for the darkness is the reason that our faith is abused, and why in false faith and carnal fleshly security, our faith can be turned from saving faith that depends on, that loves, that clings constantly and more fervently and urgently on Christ, to a faith that is indifference to Christ and in service to sin. Let us awaken from the persistent threat that this indifference to Christ poses for our salvation. Let us awaken like people who are on the road in the middle of the night and find themselves asleep and wake up suddenly, asking, how long have I been asleep? How long have I been in danger of going off the road? How long has my spiritual life been in peril by my own indifference? And wake up and look at the road. What is the road? It is Jesus Christ, and is heading to the dawn of the east in the resurrection day, in grace of Jesus Christ, by which we will arrive safely. And in that word of repentance and that tough word about faith and our own spiritual peril, don't be mad at Christ. He's shaking you to wake because He loves you. He wants you to turn from that indifference to a more fervent and yearning love and desire for Him and for judgment day and for deliverance from sin and death and all the evil and sorrows that we face upon this earth. He wants us to yearn for that, the way a bride yearns for the return of her bridegroom and a new life together under a new name and a new household in a new way of life with Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, forever. For putting off the works of darkness, we are walking with Christ into a new day where weariness, sadness, and death shall be no more. And the joy of the children of God in loving Him and serving Him will have no end. Amen. And may the peace that that gives us, that surpasses all understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And one note on the service. Today, instead of the Te Deum, as it is Advent, we will be using the Benedictus on page 226.